Truly, this is the day that the Lord hath made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. I mean, after all, we were able to get up this morning, able to come to church. We love Jesus, and He loves us. We got a home in heaven. What more can you want? Blessed, blessed, blessed. This is His day. And every day is a gift. And the older I get, the more I realize that every day I get up is a gift from God. And may we always use them for His glory. Always use them for His glory. We're glad that you're here today. If you're visiting with us, we pray that you're welcome. Feel welcome and loved and appreciated. And anybody that might be in the parking lot listening on the radio, in the car, or later on the website, we pray that you're blessed. Just remind you that in your bulletin, there's a little tab that you can fill out and tear off with prayer requests, or as a visitor, fill out. Now, you can fill it out, prayer requests anonymously, or you can put your name on them. But anyway, whether you do it anonymously or with your name, we'll pray over whatever burden you have. Just tear it off, put it in the offering plate when the offering plate is passed in a few moments. May we do it with the Lord in prayer. Father, a long, long time ago, a person that loved you said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." And Lord, thank you that we can come today in this place, be joined together with our brothers and sisters in the Lord, and bow before you as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We worship you today, Lord. We worship you. For truly there is none other like you. There is none other but you. Father, today you know the needs of every person that's listening in this sanctuary. Every person that might be listening in the car or that will listen later on the website. And Lord, may the Holy Spirit minister to us out of your grace and your gifts. Whether we need a spiritual touch, a financial touch, a healing of our body, whatever it is, Lord, we wait upon you, knowing that there is nothing that's impossible with our God. Nothing impossible. Lord, we love you today. You're welcome here. You're welcome here. You're welcome. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When you look up here, see Leonard or Tonda. This is not my specialty, so bear with me today. But if y'all will all stand, we're going to sing both verses. We have come into his house.
Gathered in his name to worship him. morning, everyone. Today we will have a call conference at the conclusion of our worship service, and there'll be no evening services the remainder of the day. We'll have a regular Bible study at 6:30 on Wednesday. During the call conference today, as I mentioned, we'll be approving members of the nominating committee. And I think Building and Grounds will also present some improvement issues for a vote. There has been a note here of a donation made in memory of Scott Davis. We appreciate that. And then, save the date, Vacation Bible School. Emily, do you have anything, or Hannah, that you'd like to add? Don't pass the buck so easy now.
We still need some volunteers, so we love any help we can get. And I'm a slacker. If I haven't put the tiles up, I will get those in the bulletin next week. But we will have our kickoff Friday, June 20th, and Saturday. It'll just be one day Bible school. So, call your friends, nieces, nephews, grandkids, anybody.
Okay. If you want me to get that sign-up list, I'll go pass it around if you want me to.
Yeah. That's right. I'm on the bulletin board.
It's on the bulletin board now. You know where it's at, so you don't have an excuse, right?
Yes.
Okay.
And if you do sign up, if you'll just put your shirt size on there, because we're going to try to order shirts for the people that help.
Okay, for all the volunteers. Okay, thank you. Thank you both for volunteering and offering to do this. June the 1st will be Graduate Sunday, so if you have someone that will be graduating at any level, please let Kathy High or Brenda Burns know about that, and we'll get that taken care of. Any other announcements that we need to cover at this time? Okay. If not, we'll take a moment to have any praise reports or prayer requests at this time. Any updates? Yes, Kevin. How old are you? Someone else? Anyone else?
Yes. I want to put my daughter in on the heritage chest surgery Friday.
You say Elaine?
Elaine Pfeiffer.
Elaine Pfeiffer. And she has tests Friday?
She has a surgery Friday.
Surgery, okay. Anyone else?
We can pray for the students taking their GCSEs, okay, exams, and graduation.
How many remember the thoughts of EOGs?
Every year.
Well, you old people done forgot about it, hadn't you? I can remember those tasks myself. Any other prayer requests, praise reports? We're all good? Okay, if that be the case, then we'll take time now to pray for these. So pray with me, please. Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the privilege, Father, we have to be here. We're glad to be here, Lord. We come here to worship and to feel your presence, and we Lord, just enter our hearts and our minds and our thoughts at this time, Father, not just for ourselves, Father, but for those that we just heard mention of. We give praise reports for the remission of cancer, Father. We give praise reports for healing itself, for whether it be physical or spiritual or mentally, Father, for there are a lot of people suffering in today's world. And for Elaine Pfeiffer, Father, for the surgery, we pray for her. We thank you, Father, for caregivers in this world. Pray your blessings upon them. And for all the many students, several of them represented here, Father, we pray for these students as they enter the end of another school year, Father, you be with them and give them peace and comfort, and just let their mind be focused on the task ahead that they may do well. Father, now as we enter in a time to worship, we will pray for Ed. We pray that you would fill his heart and mind with the words that he has studied upon, that they may be received well, and that we may be able to do something beyond just hear them, Father. The put more effort into our lives and serving others, Father. We thank you for the privilege of being here and for the love that we feel when we're here. We thank you for this church. We pray your blessings upon it. We pray your blessings upon each family represented here today. For your name that we ask all these prayers in. Amen.
All right, so stand with me. We'll sing our praise hymn. It's on 177 or on the board. There's something about his name.
Children's church, are we all standing? Sure, more didn't go that way. Stay here. There is something about the name of Jesus that's special, and how it can bring peace to our hearts, joy, make us feel loved. Something special about Jesus. Now, you may think this is heresy, but I told somebody last week that I'm not really interested in making Baptists. I'm more interested in creating New Testament Christians. I don't think when I stand before the Lord, he's going to say, Ed, in your ministry, how many Baptists did you make? He's more likely to say, Ed, how many people were born into the family of God and were New Testament Christians? That's why recently, you know, we've been looking at the characteristics of the New Testament church. Founded on the Word of God, bathed in prayer, focused on the cross, powered by the Holy Spirit, people who shared their faith, confident of the truth of the resurrection. Last week we looked at building Christian families. Now today, it's a little more touchy. The New Testament church, those Christians were givers. They were generous givers. The Bible tells us God so loved that he gave. Now, he didn't give a lowly angel. He didn't give a seraphim. He didn't even give one of the archangels. God sent his son Jesus. He gave the very best that he had. For God so loved that he gave Jesus. He gave his very best. And genuine New Testament Christianity is a giving religion. It's a giving faith. Tells a whole lot about our Christian maturity, our walk with God, as to how giving we are. It also shows how much like or not unlike New Testament Christians we are, the generosity of our spirit. Now, we're going to look first at Jesus. Matthew 13, verse 23. No, 23:23. Matthew 23:23. And here Jesus is very critical of the Pharisees and the scribes. But notice the context. Woe unto you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you pay tithe of mint, of ants, of cumin, have omitted the weightier matters of the law, judgment, mercy, and faith. These ought ye to have done and not leave the other undone. Jesus, they went out and to put it in our terms, they counted the leaves on the tea plant, on the spice plant, counted the tomatoes on the vine, and they tithed on the basis of all of that. And Jesus said, hey, you ought to tithe. But on the basis of tithing, don't forget to be just, loving, kind, merciful. Then in Luke chapter 6, Luke chapter 6, great promise. Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Give and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, shall men give into your bosom, for with the same measure that you meet, wherewithal it shall be measured to you again. Jesus says, give, and God will bless you. God will go out of his way to bless you. And when he talks about the shaken together, I think back to those days of hauling produce, and you learn some tricks. You certain things like, say, green beans and lima beans, they would lay in those hampers solid. But peas and greens would sort of leave a lot of air. Now, there were certain, I think it was like 18 or 20 pounds that should have been in a hamper of peas. And so you're going to buy some and you look and say, okay, how much? And they tell you how much. And so you pick it up. And if it didn't feel heavy, you just sort of dropped it on the pavement. And all of a sudden that top went, and you realize they were trying to cheat you. So you say, hey, if you want to fill it up, I'll buy it. If you're not going to fill it up, I'm not interested. And so the thing was, Jesus said, it'll be shaken together, dropped down, pressed down, running over, will men give when you are faithful to give. And he says, with the same measure that you meet, shall it be measured to you again. In other words, if you give it out with a teaspoon, you're not going to get much more than a teaspoon back. If you give it out with a big scoop, you're going to get more back. It's how much we give. Now go with me over to Mark chapter 12, where Jesus prays sacrificial giving. Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And Jesus said over against the treasury, and beheld how the people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich cast in much. And there came a certain poor widow, and she threw in two mites, which make a farthing. And he called unto them his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast more in than all they which cast into the treasury. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her want did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Jesus praised someone who gave sacrificially. And notice that he noticed. It says he sat over there and watched what people were doing. Now, I don't have to know what anybody gives. Don't want to know what anybody gives. Brenda will tell you I've never asked her, and any other treasurer I've ever had will tell you I never ask how much people give. Now, people talk, and sooner or later you get a pretty good idea who the givers in the church are and who aren't. But Jesus notices, and he cares about how we give. Do you remember Jesus and his disciples also practiced giving? Look in the Gospel of John. The Gospel of John 13. There in the upper room, right before doing the Lord's Supper, washing the feet. And Jesus has told them somebody's going to betray him. And verse 26 of John 13, Jesus said, he it is to whom I shall give a sop when I have dipped it. When he had dipped the sop, he gave it unto Judas Iscariot, the son of Simon. And after the sop, Satan entered into him. Then said Jesus unto him, that thou doest, do quickly. Now no man at the table knew what intent he spake this unto them. For some of them thought, because Judas had the bag, that Jesus said unto him, buy those things we have need of against the feast, or that he should give something to the poor. Judas was the treasurer of the 12. And Jesus says, go take care of business. And the other disciples didn't know, but they thought, you know, Jesus may be sending him out on an assignment to take care of the poor. So, Jesus taught us to give. Jesus praised the giving. And Jesus practiced it. And the one, we won't turn to that scripture, but one person that he really, really had some criticism for was the guy whose harvest was so great that he, barns were full, and he said, well, I believe I'll just tear these barns down and build a humongous barn so I have room to hold everything. And Jesus said, when your life is over, who's all that going to belong to? Now, you see, that guy with his barns already full and more left over could have said, you know, Widow Jones over there looks hungry. One of you servants, take her 5 bushels of wheat and 5 bushels of barley. Widow Smith over there looks like her house is leaking. Go sell 10 bushels and pay somebody to fix her roof. Timothy's an orphan, and his clothes are getting threadbare, and he looks hungry. Let's go sell some extra wheat and put some clothes on this boy, feed this boy, and maybe take him in as one of the, give him a little position that a kid his age can do, and I may even adopt him into my family. You see, Jesus said this guy had more than enough, but he's all selfish. And Jesus said, that doesn't work. I thought it was interesting. I don't know if it was yesterday or the day before. I saw a news article. And I can't vouch for the authenticity of it. Because these days you don't know which is fake news and which isn't fake news and who's what, whatever. But, you know, I haven't been over at Wingate University lately, but at one time you could go over there and you could go to the Harris building. I think it was the cafeteria. W.T. Harris, Harris Teeter Supermarkets. Evidently his family or he contributed a lot of money and they named the building for him. At one time there was a Cannon building on campus. Somebody gave money from the Charles Cannon Foundation or Charles Cannon gave it himself and they named the building for him. When Pam was a student there, I think she stayed in the Belk dormitory, which I assume the Belk family gave money for. We're familiar with the Jeff Gordon Children's Hospital portion of our local medical system, but in Concord. I assume that Jeff Gordon or his foundation gave a lot of money for that. Now, that's the background for what I'm about to tell you that I read. This writer named off one of the most wealthy person in the world and said, you know, it's strange. There's not a single college building, not a single hospital building, not a single orphanage, not a single good works anywhere named for this guy. In other words, he's not giving a dime to anybody. He's keeping it all for himself. How much is he going to take with him? Zero. Zero. But one day we're all going to stand before God to give an account for what we've done with what God has entrusted to us. Now, not only did Jesus teach it and preach it and pray praise for it, the New Testament Christians practice giving. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. Verse 44 and 45. And all that believed were together and had all things common and sold their possessions and goods and parted to them all men as every man had need. Folks that had took care of those that didn't have. Then you look at chapter 4. Of Acts, and you see the very same thing. It goes to 4:33. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Great grace was upon them all. Neither was there any among them that lacked, for many as there were possessors of houses or land sold them, brought the prices of the things that were sold, and laid them down at the apostles' feet, and distribution was made to every man according as he had need. And Joseph, who by apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite and of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it, brought the money, and laid it at the apostles' feet. And you know from the sixth chapter of Acts, they also took care of the widows. You see, there was a generosity of spirit that said, we have more than we need. We have more than we can use for ourselves. So let's give. Let's give. And in the New Testament church, there was that giving spirit where they reached out and gave to one another that which they need. Now, in Romans 12, verse 8, it says, or he that exhorteth, or on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. That's in the context of spiritual gifts. All of us are to be givers. But God grace gifts some people with a special gift of giving. They just can't help it. You know, God grace gifts some to be teachers, some to work in the nursery, some to preach, some to do other things. But there are people with a special gift of giving. I'm thinking about a friend of mine who's now reaping in heaven the rewards. He traveled with his business, the company. And he came in one day and he's barefoot. His wife said, "John, what happened to your shoes?" He said, "Well, I picked up a hitchhiker and he was barefoot and my shoes fit him, so I just gave him my shoes." Now, that's grace giving. She said, "But John, those were your best pair. You could have brought him home and got him a worse pair." He said, "No, I gave him my best pair." That's the way John was. He came to me one time and said, "So-and-so's business is hurting. He's struggling. Here's $600. You go give it to him and don't tell him where it came from." That was John. He had that grace of giving. He had that spiritual gift of giving, and he just did it and did it and did it and did it. Now, everybody doesn't have that gift, but some people do. But we're all to be givers. We're all to be givers. Now, turn with me over to 2 Corinthians chapter 8. And we talk about, in here in chapter 8 and chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, Paul talks about an offering that they're taking up for the needy Christians in Judea or Jerusalem. "Moreover, brethren, we do you to wit of the grace of God bestowed on the church of Macedonia, how that in great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy, their deep poverty, abounded unto the riches of their liberality. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves, praying us with much entreaty that we should receive the gift and take upon us the fellowship of ministering to this saints. And this they did, not as we hoped, but first gave their own selves to the Lord and to us by the will of the Lord." He says these churches in Macedonia, they were not wealthy churches. They were under duress. They were under a stressful time. And yet it says they gave themselves to the Lord. They gave themselves in service to Paul and the other apostles with him. And then they gave an offering. He said it was beyond what they should have been able to give, but they just did it. And they begged Paul to take it. Not many preachers are going to tell you that people walk down the aisle and say, "Preacher, please, 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 would you take this offering?" No. They just beg Paul, "Please take our gift and give it." Now, you see, they were giving with a willing heart. They were giving with a willing heart. Now, in chapter 9, verses 6 through 10, "But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purpose in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver." He says, give willingly. Give out of love. Give out of love. Verse 10. Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread for your food, multiply your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness. He says, give out of a willing heart. God gives you seed to sow, and he gives you your bread. He doesn't say you go hungry while you give to ministry. He says he gives you your bread. You give willingly. He gives you the seed. And as you sow your seed, you reap a harvest. You reap a harvest. Now, we won't look at the scripture, but over in Philippians, there's a verse that we like to quote. My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Remember that verse? And we like to quote that. But before that, Paul says, you folks gave and you gave, and wherever I was, you sent me something. In other words, the Philippian Christians sowed seed. If you don't sow seed, you don't get a harvest. If you don't sow seed, you don't get a harvest. Ted can sit down in that greenhouse with all those little pots of soil, and if he don't put some seed in those pots, there aren't any plants coming up. And he says, we sow seed. God gives us our bread. God blesses us. And in turn, we bless others. Now, back in Corinthians, Paul also says something to the effect, I'm taking some other brethren with me to handle this money. I'm not sticking it in my pocket, and then some people wonder, did I keep it or not? Paul said it's all going to be handled decently, honestly, above board, above reproach. Now, there's a couple of things I want to say. You know, one, give to ministries that are above reproach. Give to ministries that are above reproach. Don't pour your money where it's no good. I know several years ago, it became real popular to get a phone call and say, this is so-and-so, would you like to contribute to buying bulletproof vests for law officers? And at least one of those organizations, if you gave them $100, about $5 of it went to bulletproof vests, and the other 95 went in their pocket. Not good to give to somebody like that. And I don't know whether you still can, because I don't play much with my computer, but at one time you could go on in your computer, and maybe under the Better Business Bureau or something, and look up all the charitable organizations and see how much percentage went to actual helping, doing whatever it said it was, the purpose was, and how much of it went for overhead, how much of it went for salaries, how much of it went for mailings and everything else. And Pamela and I were, in serious debating over some ministries that we thought we might want to give, and I looked them up, and no way. Because it all went to overhead and salaries and very little for where it really was supposed to go. So don't just ordinarily, blindly, somebody call up and say, hey, I want to give, want you to give, or you get something in the mail and they got three starving orphans looking on it. Make sure you give to that which is good. Make sure it's going to help somebody. Make sure it's going to reach a place, a ministry. Another thing is this. Be led by the Holy Spirit in your giving. Be led by the Holy Spirit in your giving. The Holy Spirit will lead each of us in his way to do what he wants done for a particular ministry or outreach or whatever. And that which he leads me to do may not be what he leads you to do. And that which he leads you to do may not be what he leads me to do. Now, I'll give you an example. As far as I know, every time we pass the hat for the Baptist Children's Home, I make a contribution. But I understand, sort of through the grapevine, that there's a couple of families in this church that the Children's Baptist Children's Home is a real burden. It's something that God really lays on your heart, and you give a lot more than I do. That doesn't make me better or you better. It just means God directs you in that direction. And then there's some other ministries that I may be giving to that you're not giving to. But if we're all listening to the Lord, then the Lord will make sure this ministry has its needs met, and this ministry has its needs met, and this ministry has its needs met. But the New Testament church was a hands-on, let's do ministry, and let's be giving. Now, basically, really I've talked mostly about money, but you know, there's other ways you can give. I think about a little lady up at Prospect. She probably wasn't as old as I am now, but when I was a 35-year-old pastor, 38-year-old pastor up there, she was old. She drove a car that was held together by rust. But I guarantee you on your birthday, you're going to get a phone call. And she says, I don't have any money to give you, but I want to tell you I love you and I'm praying for you. Now that was her gift. She couldn't give everybody on the church roll $100. But she could sure give you her love. Some of you give, just like when there's how many meals y'all brought to my house, and meals that you bring to other people. That's a gift. Now, there's some cooks you don't want a meal from. But y'all brought good stuff to my house. And I appreciated it. My family appreciated it. But see, that's giving. That's giving. Sometimes giving is a listening ear. I told Brother Jim a few minutes ago before the service, Friday evening, I probably spent 2 hours on the phone with somebody in another county, in another church, pouring out the troubles of their church. And then yesterday it was about another hour of it. I can't straighten out their trouble other than through prayer, but I can have a listening ear. There's a lady in another state whose husband died recently. I've probably spent 10 hours texting back and forth with her, trying to encourage her. She's got no kids. Never had any kids, has 2 stepchildren that aren't very nice to her. Her health is poor. She's hurting. But I can give through a text. You see, giving is what we have for those who need. We should never neglect financial giving. But don't be concerned if you can't give a lot financially. That's the good thing about tithing. If you make $100 a week, 10%. If you make $1,000 a week, 10%. If you make $100,000 a week, 10%. God doesn't say, hey, if you don't give $10,000 this week, you're out. No. God says, just give proportionally. Give as I have blessed you. And I found in my life that the more I give, the more seed the Lord gives me to sow. In lots of ways. The New Testament church was a giving church. And I pray that we are a giving church. And I pray that God will allow you and impress upon you and lead you to be giving of whatever it is that you have, whether it's finances, a listening ear, word of counsel, a good meal. Let's make some New Testament Christians. Would you bow your heads and close your eyes for just 1 minute? And we won't do anything about an invitation other than just this. Are you a faithful tither? The answer is either yes or no. Are you open to the Lord leading you to give financially in other ways beyond your tithe? Are you a giver of what you have, whether it may be a talent? Go fix somebody's plumbing. Go build a ramp. It may be a listening ear. Are you willing to be led by the Lord and be a giver? Father, help us to be New Testament Christians in our giving. In Jesus' name, amen.